This is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi. Here now, Tony Bruschi.
You have made some terrible decisions.
That's what Jim Bob Duggar wrote to his son, Joseph, in a jail email obtained through public records. Not, I'm in shock. Not, this can't be real. Not, what are you thinking about? Just, you have made some terrible decisions. You know, Jim Bob, when you educate children at a younger age about this sort of behavior, I don't know. It might do amazing things in preventing it. Maybe. I don't know. If it's dealt with in a healthy manner at a younger age. No, and nor am I saying that is the catalyst to people doing these sort of horrible things. I think that's a little more innate. I think that might be a little deeper look that everyone needs to take at themselves there in that family as to why this seems to be an ongoing problem. But education is key to many things. You can't just pretend problems away, pretend they don't exist away, pretend that this behavior doesn't exist the way that, you know, they kind of have been, in my opinion. So Jim Bob Duggar wrote his son, Joseph, in jail, an email obtained through the public records. I'm in shock. You have made some terrible decisions. This is a man who has now watched one son get convicted on federal charges involving child CSAM material, and a second get arrested on allegations of a 9-year-old girl. And when the moment came to put something in writing, something he had to know could become public, what Jim Bob produced was the sentence of a man who has had practice absorbing this kind of news before. God has already forgiven you if you have asked him. That's the follow-up. Not a question about what happened, not an expression of disbelief, just spiritual reassurance and a warning about consequences and that framing. Forgiveness before facts, management before accountability. It's not new. It is the Jim Bob Duggar playbook. It has been the Jim Bob Duggar playbook for over two decades. And the question that should matter to every investigator working this case in both Arkansas and Florida is not just what Joseph allegedly did. It's what the patriarch knew when he knew it and whether the law can finally reach him for it. In no way, in shape, or form am I saying Jim Bob has done anything criminal or has done anything. I'm just pointing out, you know, things that maybe one should look for. To see, just to be sure. He's not been charged with anything. He, you know, again, not accusing him of doing anything criminal or of that nature. If anything, at the least, maybe it's a moral failing of some sort. I don't know. We do know that the Duggar case did not end with Josh. Not even close. Let's go back to 2002. Jim Bob Duggar learns that his teenage son, Josh, has been harming his daughters, his own children. The conduct, according to testimony given under oath at Josh's federal pretrial evidentiary hearing years later, had been ongoing since Josh was approximately 12 years old. The youngest person involved was 5. Jim Bob does not call the police. He contacts church elders. They agree that Josh needs a program, not a licensed treatment facility, a labor program connected to their religious community, because that always works. Months later, Jim Bob takes Josh to Arkansas State Trooper Jim Hutchins. You've heard this before, a family friend, a personal acquaintance, who also gets arrested. Hutchins described as a stern talk he has with him, files no report, makes no mandated notification, no investigation is open, no one outside the family's circle is chosen to be told about any of this. That decision there to go to a friend with a badge instead of an actual system of accountability, because the load-bearing wall of the entire cover-up is right there, because when real investigators finally got the case in December of 2006, prompted by an anonymous tip after prosecutors at the producers, rather, at the Oprah Winfrey show, fled concerns The 3-year statute of limitations on Josh's underlying offenses had already expired. Jim ran the clock down. Whether that was intended or not, I don't know. But it is the effect of what he did. Expired specifically because of that 2003 contact with Hutchins. The clock had been running since the moment Jim Bob walked Josh into that trooper's office. And by the time anyone with actual authority looked at the case, it was already too late because of the statute of limitations. They know how to play the clock. Josh Duggar's sisters, Jim Bob's own daughters, never saw a prosecution for what was done to them. And Jim Hutchins, the family friend, the officer, the moral authority here, who's standing over going, here's, you need to buck up and get your shit together, son. He was later convicted of his own charges and is currently serving a 56-year prison sentence for similar type charges. He's alleged that the Duggar family made an effort to conceal the full extent of Josh's conduct. So, when people ask whether Jim Bob Duggar could face legal consequences for what happened with Josh or Joseph, well, specifically Josh, let's go back there first. The honest answer is that the criminal window almost certainly closed a very long time ago. Arkansas failure to report laws classify knowing failure to notify as a Class A misdemeanor. The statute of limitations on misdemeanors in Arkansas is 1 year. For conduct from 02 to 03, that clock ran out over 2 decades ago. There is nothing left to charge. Because a lot of people are asking this question. And again, I am not saying Jim Bob should be charged. I'm not saying Jim Bob is anything criminal at all. I'm not saying at all. But a lot of people are asking the question, can charges come about for folks higher up in this family if they knew anything? It's a big if. It's a big speculation. It's not saying, yes, they should be charged. It's a big if these levers were pulled along the way and we find out that they were, and certain people knew certain things at certain points in time, are they accountable? Are they liable? That's what we're trying to examine here. Jim Bob's testimony at Josh's 2021 pretrial evidentiary hearing is a slightly different question. He took the stand and claimed he could not remember key details about his son's abuse of his daughters. Federal Judge Timothy Brooks, in a written finding, called that testimony not credible, citing selective memory loss and obvious reluctance to testify against his own child, which you have to do. There is no law that says you can plead the fifth or forget. Federal perjury carries a 5-year statute of limitations, which means that window technically remains open through late 2026. But anyone who's followed federal prosecutions know the bar for perjury is punishingly high. You don't just have to prove someone was wrong or evasive. You have to prove they knowingly, willfully lied under oath. Now, come on. But how do you prove it? Not that they had a conveniently bad memory. I don't recall has been the escape hatch for witnesses dodging accountability since the invention of the subpoena. No federal prosecutor has signaled any interest in testing that wall. So, the Josh era exposure is, for practical purposes, everybody out there wondering about it, can't they? Legally unreachable. The system Jim Bob navigated, the church consultations, the handpicked law enforcement contact, the statute of limitations that expired on his timeline worked exactly as he used it. That's not justice. But it is the legal reality, and he knew how to navigate it. I'll give him that. Because you know what? The rest of us, the rest of the system out here that likes to throw stones and go, horrible, bad people, this is sick, this is wrong. You know what? Yeah, you may feel that way. But you better know how to use the legal levers to actually enforce punishment on the people you are accusing of being evil. Because social media posts don't quite cut it. Timeliness is key. And you'll always notice that when shit goes down and things like this, it's always like, now is not the time. Now we're asking for your respect and our privacy. Yeah, because you want to run the clock down. Because, you know, if you just wait long enough and people forget long enough and their memory moves on to the next thing, you might be able to evade the shit that you are accountable for, if you are accountable for it. It's the same play.
Let's go to Joseph Duggar, the new one, who was arrested on March 18th of 2026 on charges of lewd and lascivious behavior involving the alleged of a child who was 9 years old at the time. The alleged conduct occurred during a 2020 family vacation in Panama City Beach, Florida. The victim, now 14, came forward and disclosed the alleged abuse in a forensic interview. According to the Bay County Sheriff's Office, Joseph allegedly admitted his conduct twice. Once to the victim's father, once to the Tawny Town detective who monitored the phone call. He has pled not guilty. He's presumed innocent. He faces proceedings in Florida with an arraignment on the calendar. But this is not a monologue about Joseph. This is about the question Joseph's arrest forces into the open. Did the family know? Specifically, did Jim Bob know? And if he did, when? That's the question. I'm not accusing, I'm asking. The Duggar family's official position is that they had no prior knowledge before the arrest became public. Jana Duggar Wiseman stated it directly. Jim Bob and Michelle released a statement through a spokesperson saying they are heartbroken and focused on supporting Kendra and the children. Jim Bob's jail email to Joseph acknowledges terrible decision and warns of major consequences, but it doesn't read like a man blindsided by an accusation. It also doesn't explicitly reveal prior knowledge. It reads like a statement drafted by someone who understands that jail communications are public records. And that careful ambiguity is where investigators should be paying attention. Investigators should also be going through that house with black lights, as suggested by Jennifer Coffendaffer on this program. So, Tawny Town Police Departments, if you're looking for a third time to go visit the Joseph Duggar household, there you go. Go in there with the black lights and see what sort of things you find. See what sort of cleaning they missed. See what sort of fluids you find where and when. That might lead to some interesting conclusions. Just saying. Maybe. I don't know. I have no idea. But if I were investigating somebody for this, well, they... fairly accomplished FBI agent has suggested maybe you should go do that. Here is what is different about Joseph's case. In 2002, when Jim Bob managed Josh's abuse internally, there were no text messages to subpoena, no email threads to trace, no group chats, no digital footprint connecting the family's private conversations to the searchable record. The concealment happened in living rooms and church offices. And by the time investigators arrived, the only evidence was testimony from people who had every reason to minimize what they knew. In 2026, investigators have tools that did not exist during the Josh era. They can subpoena digital communications from every adult connected to that 2020 vacation. They can pull text messages, emails, social media exchanges stretching back 6 years. They can interview the victim's family about whether any Duggar, Jim Bob, Michelle, or anyone else had conversations about the alleged conduct before the victim disclosed. They can examine whether there were family meetings, church consultations, or internal discussions that mirror the Josh playbook. If a single text message, email, or witness statement places Jim Bob's knowledge of Joseph's alleged conduct before the victim's 2026 disclosure, the legal exposure changes. Under Arkansas law, any person 18 or older who has reasonable cause to suspect child S abuse is required to report immediately to the Child Abuse Hotline. Knowing failure to report is a Class A misdemeanor. The statute of limitations is 1 year from when the person gained the knowledge, not from when the underlying conduct occurred. So if Jim Bob knew in 2020 that 1 year window closed in 2021, gone. But if he learned about it more recently, say within the past year, and still did not report it, that window could still be wide open. And that's just a failure to report question. If investigators find evidence that Jim Bob took affirmative steps, coaching Joseph on what to say, pressuring the victim's family not to come forward, coordinating a family response designed to contain the situation rather than protect the child, coerce, control other people not to do that, remove housing, things of that nature, then obstruction statutes in both Arkansas and Florida come into play. Those carry their own timelines and their own consequences. You see, you try to assert your influence over here, your power, your authority, your godliness, your umbrella that's got a lot of holes in it now. That's all great. Your church says this is great and wonderful. But you know, if any of those things violate the law and you're asserting that control in a coercive way to not expose a potential crime, that in itself is criminal. Now, did that happen? Could that have happened? I don't know. I don't know the answer. I'm not accusing. I'm just stating fact that this is the way the rules are. This is the way the game is played, if you will. I have no idea, but I am saying, if that is how the game was played, there's some liability there. The pattern matters, not as speculation, as evidence. A father who already knew one son had harmed children, who had already demonstrated a documented history of managing abuse allegations internally rather than reporting them, who had already been found not credible by a federal judge when asked about his knowledge of that abuse. That father does not get the benefit of the doubt in the same way a first-time bystander might. And that's why we're asking the questions, because this is not coming out of nowhere. There's already a pattern of behavior we're seeing here. I don't know what exactly happened here. I'm not accusing anyone, but I am saying, this seems odd. Maybe it should be looked at by authorities. Investigators, no patterns. Prosecutors, no patterns. And juries, no patterns. Even if criminal charges never reach Jim Bob Ducker, and again, I'm not saying it's anything criminal by any means, the civil exposure is real, and it is growing. Arkansas has been aggressively reforming its laws around civil claims of child SA survivors. The 2021 Justice for Vulnerable Victims of S Abuse Act explained the filing window significantly, or expanded it significantly. And in 2023, an amendment sought to go even further. However, in February 25, the Arkansas Court of Appeals struck down portions of the review window provisions, finding that retroactively extending expired limitation periods violated legal precedent. The civil landscape is actively contested and may ultimately be resolved by the Arkansas Supreme Court. But the trend line is clear. Arkansas is moving toward expanded accountability for abuse survivors, not away from it. And civil litigation does not require proof beyond a reasonable doubt. It requires a preponderance of evidence, more likely than not. For Joseph's alleged victim, a civil case against Jim Bob would not necessarily require proof that he knew about Joseph specifically. It would argue something broader and in some ways more devastating. That a father who already knew one of his sons had abused children, who had already demonstrated a documented pattern of concealing that abuse rather than reporting it, that's in the record. That has, you know, go back to Joshy, had a heightened duty to protect other children in his family's orbit and failed. In a civil courtroom, let's say that this is what the finding was. I'm not saying it is. I'm saying if in a civil courtroom, this were to go down. The Josh history is not just background, it is evidence of notice. It is the foundation of a negligence claim. And if something Jim Bob can't make disappear the way he made the 2003 police report disappear, allegedly. Because there was no police report. Jim Bob Duggar has spent over two decades managing his family's abuse allegations the way he's managed everything else in his life internally, through church structures, with carefully chosen allies, and with the brand as the North Star. For most of that time, the law could not touch him. Statutes expired, witnesses stayed inside the circle, the narrative held long enough to build a television empire on top of it. But Joseph's arrest introduced something this family has never faced before, a living case. Active investigations in two jurisdictions, digital evidence that can be subpoenaed, jail communications that are already public, in a family that is no longer unified in its silence. Jill Duggar wrote a book about what it cost her to grow up inside that system. Her husband, Derek Dillard, has publicly alleged that Jim Bob controlled their contracts and payments. Joanna has publicly grieved her brother's arrest. Jenna has stated on the record that the family had no prior knowledge, a statement that becomes legally significant the moment evidence suggests otherwise. The criminal exposure for Jim Bob Duggar may be narrow. Statutes of limitations are unforgiving by design, and the Josh era concealment is almost certainly beyond the reach of prosecutors. The perjury angle is alive on paper, but somewhat dead in practice. The Joseph angle depends entirely on what investigators find in the communications, the witness interviews, and the financial records. And on the critical question of when Jim Bob's knowledge began, and for his sake, he better hope to God it doesn't put him in any sort of window of liability. And I'm not saying it does. I don't know. I am saying if it does land there, consequence land out here in the Gentile world that isn't part of the IBLP or Duggarville might have come knocking. The civil exposure is not narrow either. It's expanding. And in a civil proceeding, the jury does not need to find guilt beyond a reasonable doubt. Like I said, they need to find that if, again, big if, we're not saying that he should be charged or sued or whatever. If they find that Jim Bob Duggar, who already knew what could happen inside his family, did not do enough to stop it from happening again, Jim Bob did not build a wall around his family to keep danger out. He built it to keep the truth in, allegedly. And the question investigators in both Arkansas and Florida are now positioned to answer is whether that wall still holds or whether this time the cracks run all the way through. And what does it mean? Again, not been accused of anything. Not saying he did anything illegal or criminal or had any knowledge of the shit his sons were doing. I'm not saying he sat there and encouraged it or anything. I don't believe that. It's the management of it. And in so many cases, what we know is that sometimes far more crimes occur after the initial one as part of a cover-up or control or... And I genuinely believe this. They may believe that this is how you handle it. That this is the ethical, moral, correct way of doing it. It doesn't line up with the law. It doesn't line up with the sane rest of the world. Not the rest of the world's very sane, but the rules that we have in place that we all live by. And you don't get to not live by them because you're a Duggar or because you shit out 19 kids. And you talk about, you know, this is what Sky Daddy wants. It doesn't work that way. So, accountability may have come calling. I don't know. We'll see. Certainly questions that need to be asked. And hopefully some answers to be found. And wherever it goes, it goes. I don't wish people to be locked up and put away. Only those that deserve it. Only those that need it. Because they're a danger to themselves and others. And I don't know that he is that by it. But the pattern of covering shit up and dealing with things internally, that's got to stop. That's got to stop. And if it takes the law to do it, or a civil case to influence that, well, that's why it's there. Your thoughts in the comments on Substack and YouTube. Love for you to weigh in. And we'll continue our conversation right there. Until then, I'm Tony Bruschi. We'll talk again real soon.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.